In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Our Lady, Spouse of the Holy Spirit, pray for us. Saint Joseph, Saint Anthony Mary Claret, our patron saints and guardian angels. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Recently, I was talking to someone about you might say, demographics, population. And the largest Christian population in the United States is the Catholic Church. Do you know what the second largest Christian denomination is in the United States? The unchurched Catholics, those who don't go to church but are still Catholic, that's the second largest Christian population in the United States. And you know, I think about that. When I was recently in a pilgrimage in Hungary, a lady said, that 70% of the population of Hungary is Catholic, but only 12% go to Mass on a regular basis, which is rather high for Europe, because I think in Italy it's only like 10%, and other places it's even less than that. When I was in Australia, the population of Catholics in Australia who went to Mass on a regular basis was 10%. And the Protestants who went to, like the Anglicans there, who went to their church services on a regular basis was only 5%. And the thing that was kind of startling about being in Australia was that of those who graduate from high school, 5% of those young people will continue to practice their faith. So that's a really kind of a sad situation, and I think that really the mass attendance in the United States is probably somewhere or was around 30%, and maybe less than that. But I think that the reason why mass attendance has gone down, and that's where these unchurched Catholics come from, is because they stopped going to Mass. Maybe they miss Mass one time on a Sunday, and then it becomes kind of an easy thing to do, so they miss it again the second time. And soon it becomes a habit, and they just stop going. And I think the reason that if they really understood what the Mass was, what the Mass is, would they ever skip it on a Sunday especially? But wouldn't they probably end up wanting to go to Mass on a daily basis if they really understood what the Mass is? And what is the Mass? Well, we hear sometimes the Mass referred to as the Eucharistic celebration. And it is a celebration, and it is Eucharistic, meaning thanksgiving. But I think that doesn't really tell us what the Mass really is. It tells us something about the Mass, but it doesn't tell us what the Mass is. The Mass is the holy sacrifice of Calvary represented to us in an unbloody manner. What does that mean? That it represents to us the holy sacrifice of Calvary in an unbloody manner. Well, it means that every time we come to Mass, we kind of enter into like a time warp. We talk about all these movies out there about time travel. We want to go back, to the Renaissance period, or back to the time of the cowboys and Indians, or even back to the time of the Roman legions. And they think, wow, what a great thing it is to time travel. But really, every time we come to Mass, we do really enter into a time warp. Time kind of ceases, and we enter into, we go back to Calvary, 33 AD, when Christ was being crucified on the cross. And the reason why, of course, the sacrifice at Calvary took place one time historically on 33 AD, but because Jesus is the Son of God, he transcends all time. So that what he did in 33 AD, he also is doing even today for us, because When Christ was dying on the cross, he saw every man and woman who ever lived and will live. He saw Adam and Eve. He saw Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, all the righteous and all the sinners of the Old Testament before him. And he saw everyone who came after him. He saw Hitler. He saw President Obama. He saw you. He saw me. And he's going to see everybody, whoever will come. He saw all their sins. And he didn't see them just in a vague way. He saw you personally. He saw your face. He saw you, and he offered himself for you and for me. And for each and every one of those sins, he died for us. And so how do we receive that grace that our Lord obtained for us, though, even though we weren't there physically in 33 AD? How do we receive that grace that he offered for us? How are we to receive that blood and water that was poured out when his side was pierced? Because we have to attend Mass. And the church says to us, you should be obliged to attend one day out of the week, which is Sunday. Why Sunday? Because it's the day of the Lord's resurrection, where he did show his victory over sin and death. So for us to remember that great victory of our Lord's victory over sin and death, and that he has opened for us the gates of heaven, the church says you should at least go one time during the week on a Sunday, and on a holy day of obligation, you should be obliged to attend Mass. Why? To thank God for what he's done for us, and to receive those graces, most importantly, so that we can live the life that he has obtained for us at Calvary. You know, we can say, well, I was never at Calvary. I could never tell Jesus that I was sorry for my sins, or that, well, yes, that's not true. We can. Every time we come to Mass, we are there, present. And we can say to Jesus, I'm sorry. And I can say to him, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me on the cross. And more importantly, I can receive his body, blood, soul, and divinity that is to strengthen me so that I can, as he said to all of his disciples, take up your cross and follow me. You know, that's our vocation as Christians, is to take up our cross and follow after Christ. And where does he go? He goes to Calvary. And so we need that strength that he obtains for us, that we too can follow him and stand at the foot of the cross with Our Lady, like St. John, the beloved disciple, so that we can also give witness to this great truth, that Christ loved us, God loves us so much, that he sent his only Son and sends him for our salvation. And so that's why we come to Mass, and that's why we should want to come to Mass at least one time every week. Hopefully, you know, that you're not one of those statistics of those Catholics who, you know, may even go to Catholic school but don't go to Mass on Sunday. That would be a sad thing. But it's not, the walk and the talk is not going together. And we want to walk and talk the same thing, which is that we are followers of Christ. We are his disciples. We are his brothers and sisters. For that's what Jesus, in all reality, did at Calvary, was that he obtained for us the grace to become members of his family. You know, Jesus is the natural Son of God. By nature, he is divine, the Son of God. But by baptism, we all become children of God. We become adopted children. You know, we should be all for adoption because we were all adopted. Christ adopted us as his brothers and sisters. When were we adopted? At baptism. And with that grace of baptism, by becoming a member of his family, we are therefore entitled to enter into that inheritance which all the members of the family have, which is eternal life in heaven. And maybe we don't understand the beauty of heaven, or we would strive for it more and more each day. But obviously, a place where there's no suffering, where there's no work, you know, that should be an incentive right there, no work. You know, where everything is beautiful, good, true. Everybody loves one another. There's no backbiting. There's no jealousy. There's no envy. There's no hatred. That's what heaven is all about. It's a beautiful place. And our Lord wanted us to be with him there. So today, as we contemplate, you know, what the Mass is, the holy sacrifice of the Mass, the unbloody representation, because we don't see Christ here at Mass in all of his bloody disfigurement on Calvary. We see a representation, even though maybe not as true to form as it was. But what takes place on the altar when the priest says, "This is my body and this is my blood," it produces in sacramental signs what Christ did at Calvary in an unbloody manner, under the appearances of bread and wine. He presents himself, he offers himself through the priest who is also offering Christ for us and being offered. You're going to see maybe something unusual for you who are in parishes, but we offer the ordinary form of the Mass as you do in your parish, but we offer it ad orientem. It means facing east, but here in this church it really is facing west, but ad orientem is the liturgical east, because in the early church they would offer Mass towards the east because that's where the sun was rising, was to remind us that that's the direction in which Christ will come again on the second day, and reminds us of the resurrection. As the sun rose, so did the sun rise, the Son of God. But also, it reminds us that we are offering the Mass to God, to God. We're offering Christ to his Father. And so we have God on this side of the altar, the tabernacle. We have the altar which represents Calvary here. And on this side, we have the people whom the Mass is being offered for. And the priest is in the middle. And it seems very, the logical symbolism there, the priest is in the middle as the mediator, offering on behalf of man, Christ, to God the Father. And this is the importance that I think is exemplified by that symbolism. And people say, why does Father have his back to us? It's not that Father has his back to us, it's that he's facing God. You know, if we were in the early church, the priest, if I was facing this way, you would all be facing that way too. And you wouldn't see the sacrifice taking place. That'd be kind of, seems rather unusual. So with this way, we're all facing the same direction. We're all facing God. And we're all offering and being offered, especially the priest is offering on behalf of you, Christ, to God the Father for our sins. And then we receive our Lord in Holy Communion. He comes to us. He offers himself to us personally every time we receive him in Holy Communion, because the priest says to us, to remind us, he says, the body of Christ. Christ is coming into us, to us. And what a great gift we have in the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass. And I encourage you to ponder this and to hopefully not become one of those statistics of the second largest Christian denomination, but truly be grateful, Eucharistic, thanksgiving for what Christ has done for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.